Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. And that is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Kathy. As we are making our way through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we see Jesus pointing out how God's law had been twisted by the religious leaders who had ulterior motives in what they emphasized as to what they didn't want to talk about. Another way of putting it, they majored on minors and minored on majors. And we see Jesus in his ministry constantly confronting. And guess what? It wasn't the sinners out in the streets. It was the people in the synagogue. And we could bring this today to the church, that many times the biggest problems we have come from those professing to know God, that as Scripture says, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the transforming power of God's Spirit. In other words, it's all outward show. And that's what Jesus quoted Isaiah and said, that Isaiah told him that these people are hypocrites, that on the outside they appear righteous, but inwardly they are like wolves. And it's like, whoa, we don't want to be this way. And what they had done is they had twisted God's word, God's law, and made it so that basically anyone that really wanted to follow God thought, this is insane. This is crazy. The ridiculousness of some of their laws. Look at how Jesus, when they were walking and they were hungry and it was a Sabbath and they picked grains. Whoa, that's against the law. And Jesus rebuked them for saying, you know, hey, haven't you read that David went into the temple and ate some of the showbread? And that was, and again, the Sabbath wasn't made so that we have to slavishly go by, but the Sabbath was made so that we could find rest, not have a list of nitpicky rules that we have to keep to be able to be in a right relationship with God. Now listen to what the religious leaders here, Jesus addressing them a little later here in Matthew 12, he says, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Wow. Now that's a mouthful right there, looking at that, that what comes out of our mouths. Now we're going to look here at some passages in James, and James brings out, if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, because we all mess up, don't we? Is there anyone that has never said something that they regretted? I was going to say, if you're raising your hand, I'd have to say, I think you're a liar. Because guess what? We all do. We all say things we regret saying. And then what Scripture calls us to do is to own up to it, to ask for forgiveness, and to make things right. And that's what we're called to do. And Jesus said, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. And what we're looking at today is the words that come out of our hearts, which end up coming out from our mouths. And what many times what we have is a lot of problems with our heart, that's the reason why we say the things that we say. Jeremiah spoke, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve." And you take passages like that and what Jesus is saying, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that God is interested in our hearts. He isn't looking at outward conformity to the law. What he's looking at is our hearts being transformed, being broken by what sin has done to us all. And as I am broken for my own sin, then as I respond and ask God for forgiveness, He forgives me. And then as we pray every week in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And then what did Jesus say? "For if we don't forgive our brothers, our sisters, then we're not forgiven." So in other words, this is something we're called to practically put into daily use in our lives. And James, the Lord's brother, listen to what he says here in James chapter 1. "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless." Wow, that is penetrating. As I read these words, as I preach them, I love the passage that says, "Counselor, counsel thyself." I hope, and I think I've told you this many times, I hope you know when I preach a message, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching at myself as well. This applies to everybody. We need to take to heart the words that are said here, and to guard our hearts that we don't let anger come in, that we don't say foolish things that are hurtful and harmful to one another. And words convey a message. Words reveal what we truly believe. Words have incredible power. Now, how many of us have said, especially when we're kids, I remember this, someone would say something mean and nasty to me, and guess what the saying was? "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." How many of you ever said that? Yeah. But guess what? That's not true. Names do hurt us. You just look at, put yourself back when you were a kid and people started picking on you and calling you names. It does hurt, doesn't it? All of us have to admit it. Yeah, it does. And that's what we're called to recognize, the power that is in our words. We can either build each other up and or tear each other down. That's why Paul said to the Galatians, the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. So we must be careful with our words. Now, our legal system, and not just the legal system today, but it seems like especially today, has had problems of twisting words and getting them to mean something that was not said, or something that was said that all of a sudden was made like, nope, that was never said, and they're amazing. Sometimes I've heard lawyers, and it's like, wow. They are masters at taking what someone actually said and not saying they didn't, or the other way, making it sound like, oh, you did say this when they really didn't say it. And you see that. But if we say something we shouldn't have said, and I mentioned this earlier, we need to own up to it, confess it. And if we are the offended party, we need to be able to understand and to forgive. And as we take this passage to heart, our words need to be truthful and honest. If we are men and women of character, our word should be taken for what it is. And this is what Jesus is getting at. If it is yes, then I mean yes. If it is no, then I mean no. Say what you mean and mean what you say. We don't need to swear by God's name or on a stack of Bibles. And by doing that, it gives the thought. You know what it gives the thought of? And this is why Jesus is getting at the letter. Just let our word mean something. Is that if I have to swear by the Lord or swear by a stack of Bibles, that must mean that there must be times when I'm not telling the truth when I'm saying I am. Now think about that. And that's what he's getting at here. Hey, let's be men and women of truth, that we speak what we mean. And if we do speak in ways that we shouldn't, that we own up to it and deal with it. And this is why lying is so terrible, because it brings to question anything I say, and I'm not supposed to be a liar. And how many, especially with our kids, and our kids are always great. Did you do that? No, I didn't do it. In fact, I think Sean and Rachel are here. They wouldn't mind me. All the kids, they knew one of the kids did it, but all the kids, not one of them did it. So they came up with Jimmy must have done it, huh? Now they have a dog named Jimmy. And I think that is good because, yeah, we don't like to admit when we do something or say something. It's like, oh, no, I didn't. It's like, yeah, I did. And we need to own up to it. Listen to Solomon. I love this. This is out of Proverbs 26:6. Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbor and says, I was only joking. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels that go down to the inmost parts. And so again, our words, boy, we have to be careful on them and consider them. And again, I preach this myself. It's at me. I'm going to go, and in fact, the second point here is our words reveal our character. James again. And I want you to notice that James is definitely taking what Jesus said to heart here. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses and make them obey us. We can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire. A great forest is set on fire. Whoop, I already said that, sorry. A world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Now you think of that. It's like, whoa. James, understand, and James is speaking from experience here too. We know just before Jesus went to the cross, what was happening with the apostles. Here they had been with Jesus for 3 years. They had heard his teachings. They were following him, quote, wholeheartedly. And what did they start doing? Arguing who was the greatest among them. Fighting about it, getting mad with each other. And it's like, isn't that typically the way we are as people? It's like, here they knew better. Do you think James maybe did some self-reflection here when he's writing this? It's like, hey, people, I've seen this in my own life. I know how quick words can cause like a fire to break out. We see the fires going on out west. We were just over in fishing over here at Algoma and was reading about the Peshtigo fire, which back in the 70s, that it burned and just how quickly it spread and it consumed everything. And that's what Scripture is saying about our words, that that's what our words can do. And then he goes a little bit later, above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you'll be condemned. Sounds like he's just reiterating what Jesus is telling us today. Hey, let's be men and women of our word and own up to things. Be able to recognize whenever we have problems. I love this statement here by Gemma Troy that is very appropriate. Remember, your words can plant gardens or burn whole forests down. Remember, your words can plant gardens or burn whole forests down. That is exactly what Scripture teaches. Be conscious of what we're saying. And may we be people. In fact, I'll never forget back a few years when Michelle and I were selling our first house that we had in Hayward on Anderson Road. And our neighbor down the road there, Bob Safinga, I don't think he would mind me sharing this. We did a handshake on what he was going to build and how much he was going to charge. And we walked through a house that he had already built that was going to be basically exactly like the house that we were going to have. And when we went to the bank and he built the house, and it came time, and you know what? He even turned down an offer. Someone offered him more than what we had agreed to. And he said, no, I gave him my word. We went to the bank, and the banker could hardly believe it. Could hardly believe that we actually did a handshake. But you know, isn't that the way it used to be in America? Yeah, and now look at the way we've become. Now, even with a signed letter, it's like we're masters at getting out of what we think we signed. And you know, and it is, you see this and it's like, wow. But that's what Scripture is getting at. Hey, when I say it, and again, if I mess up, then own up to it. Own up to it. And I just share that it is. I thought, yeah, that was kind of, in fact, we kind of looked at each other and laughed. It's like, well, we trusted each other. And so I've known Bob over the years and he's a good man. So what do we do though? When we have to deal with misspoken words, When someone gossips, slanders, offends us, how do we react to this? Do we reciprocate? Do we get even? Do we attack? And I believe we can see that is not the way that we should react. Here's some more good advice from Solomon. In Proverbs 19:11, it says, "A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense." Now, I want to give three practical reasons here, three practical areas to avoid in getting offended. I keep saying in church, I guarantee you, you hear long enough, someone is going to offend you. It may be me. Maybe I offend you. I don't want to offend you, but I possibly could. I could have said something, and maybe you've offended me. Maybe you've said something that I don't like. And especially husbands and wives, I mean, we can get where we can say things and then obviously have to regret and then fess up and deal with it. And I always pick on my wife, but I do. I want to just this morning thank God for my wife. She is a forgiving, loving lady. And like yesterday, she is canning. She was a canning machine yesterday. And getting all this stuff canned up and working together on our wood, getting our wood ready for, hard to believe we're looking at wood. But you know, I just use that. Even though we may not always see eye to eye, guess what? We always come together. We work together as a husband and wife. We love each other. And you know, that's exactly what Scripture says about the church. That the church, we need to be this way, to love each other, forgive each other, to not hold things against each other. And here's three practical steps to keep from getting easily offended. Number one, give people the benefit of the doubt. People sometimes do not even realize what they have said and didn't intend to hurt anyone. So we should overlook offensive words. Ask ourselves, have I ever offended anyone? Give grace. A person with a mature faith will abstain from making assumptions, giving way to vain imaginations, and plotting revenge. Now, vain imaginations, you know what vain imaginations are? Where we start thinking that this person said this and meant this, and then we start thinking, well, I wonder just, and we build this thing, this little thing turns from a molehill into a mountain. And have you ever done that in your mind? I have. I cannot tell you how many times. It's weekly. I battle myself from getting into a place where I'm going to let somebody have it. And I don't want to let anybody have it. And I have made that mistake in the past. And I have had to humble myself and go ask for forgiveness. And you know, it's a good thing that all of us can do that. So I just say that, and so don't let things eat at us. Secondly, lighten up. Proverbs again, verse 22 of chapter 17, I'm gonna read both the NIV and the New King James Version. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Don't make ourselves the center of the world. Look how it will come across if I go after them. Is that what you want our testimony to look like? Don't cross Gary, because if you do, look out, he will get you. It's like, I don't want people to ever, and thank God, I think I've worked in a lot of interesting situations in my life. Car sales is one of them. And in car sales, I had lots of interesting experiences. Lots of them. Really, really good ones, and some where you had to really take this to heart. Take this to heart. And you know, some of the toughest customers I had actually became some of my most faithful customers Once I won them over, once they accused me of trying to rip them off, that's not the best you can do. It's like, well, it is the best I can do. And I said, and you're welcome to go shop around. And what is amazing, I cannot tell you how many customers I had that after we had those initial sometimes where I just had to let them blast me. In fact, I love the passage where it talks about the person saying to the seller, you know, oh, basically what you're trying to sell me is not worth anything. And then after he gets the buys it, then he brags what a deal he got. And I actually had that posted in my office. And I had people look at that and start laughing. And that kind of helped diffuse it because it's like, boy, especially with car sales, and people come in, boy, loaded for bear. They were ready to let me have it. And thank God I learned a lot in that. And you do. You learn patience. You learn to weather people's verbal storms. And in fact, we had a guy in our service department. I'll never forget this, and I won't use names or anything here. But we had a customer come in, and this customer, and guess what? If you've worked in retail, customers aren't always right. They think they are, but they're not. And this guy had been a royal pain. I mean, a royal one. And he came in, and he just lit into our service writer, the head guy back in service, letting him have it both barrels, just everything imaginable, calling him every name in the book. And this problem, obviously, was nothing that our service manager did, and I just love it. He listened to him, and he said, sir, he said, did I cause your problem? And the guy kind of was like, because he said it very calmly. I was right there listening to all this. I was like, holy cow. And the guy kind of calmed down. He says, well, no. And then he said very calmly, he said, well, then I would appreciate it if you would quit cussing me out and yelling at me, calling me every name in the book, because if you continue to do this, I'm not going to help you. And you know what? That guy was totally disarmed. You know what? He calmed down. He talked sensibly. And he got his problem dealt with. And I did. And I thought that was awesome. And it set a great example for me. It's like, that's the way we need to be. And we had a good crew there at Gillis Motors and always enjoyed working with all those guys. And so pray about problems. Commit the situation to the Lord in prayer. Make sure our hearts are in the right spot. And then thirdly here, so we first of all give people benefit of the doubt. Secondly, lighten up. Thirdly, talk ourselves off the ledge. Forgive. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. When we feel offense rising up in us, ask ourselves, why does this bother me? Will this even matter in a day or a week or a month? We must get to the core of why we are so upset. And the only thing we gain by being offended is chaos on the inside. And how can any can agree with that? When we get offended, it does. It works within us. It's not good. In fact, Scripture tells us, Hebrews 12:15, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, the undeserving favor of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. And we know if we let offense take root in us, it's going to sour us, it's going to anger us, we're going to get rage, all these things. And bitterness is like something that spreads. It's like an infection. And it's like, we need to stop it in its tracks and deal with it. And if I do have a serious offense, then I prayerfully deal with it. And as Matthew 18, Jesus says, I go to that person one-on-one, and then if I need to take some others, then I go and take a few others, and then if need be, I involve a greater group. And it is, we have to be careful. We have to be careful. And God help us to work at watching what we say and then how we respond to what has been said. Amen. 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 This is practical stuff, and that's what Jesus is getting at. The religious leaders were masters at getting deflecting, putting off, and Jesus saying, hey, look at your heart. Be men and women of your word. Be truthful, be honest. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for your Holy Spirit who is here to work in our hearts and lives. And Lord, as we have dug into these truths out of your word, Lord, I pray that you'll just by your Spirit speak to us. Give us direction. Help to calm us. Help us to work through things. Anytime we have a group of people working together in a church, in a social organization, whatever it may be, we always know that words always can cause us trouble. Either words that we have said or words that have been said to us. And so, Lord, we do. We pray for your Spirit. And again, Jesus sets the example. The people who mocked him, who did the most unthinkable things to him, what did he say from the cross? He didn't say, wait till you stand before God in judgment. He didn't say, God is going to get you. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. And Lord, may that be our heart's attitude today. And if we do need to deal with a situation, that we deal with it in love, in grace, with mercy. And if it's us that need to own up to something, we own up to it, we deal with it, and we love each other as you have loved us. Lord, I pray that you will just encourage us all today.